back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the crab cake season. Maryland Crab Cake Tour continues on Thursday. We'll be at the Beaumont in Catonsville. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have some Raven scratch-offs to give away on Thursday from 1 to 4. And beginning next week, we'll get back on the Friday schedule. All of it brought to you by our friends at Goodwill of the Greater Chesapeake, as well as Window Nation. Make sure you're staying in touch with them, 866-90-NATION. Do what I did this summer. Get fresh windows. It makes the fall so much better in the screens and all that stuff. My cat loves it. I love getting together with the Buffalo Bills. Well, you know, we used to do it every year back when I was a youngin', and O.J. would come in, and Ferguson would come in, and all that stuff. And then we got out of the division. Now it feels like a little budding rivalry. They think the Chiefs are their rival. We'll find out this week. The 2-1 Buffalo Bills visit the 2-1 Baltimore Ravens. This guy's been a part of it from the beginning as well. Longtime voice of the Buffalo Bills. You can follow him out on Twitter at @Murph_Bills. He is the play-by-play voice as well as the brand ambassador for Sullivan's Brewing Company. Do they make beer at Sullivan's Brewing? I need to know about this, Murph.
Yes, they do. They make it in Kilkenny, Ireland, and it's shipped over here. Yes. It's great beer.
I did. This is my 31st anniversary in Baltimore Sports Radio. I did 31 crab cakes in 31 days in August, but I mixed in 31 breweries around the state of Maryland. Nice. So I found myself, I got thirsty for football season. Hey, you guys lost in Miami. We lost to Miami 2 weeks ago, obviously in 3-touchdown comeback. I'm not going to say they're the class of this, but they certainly have gotten off to an interesting start. And I thought you guys were, I thought you had won the Super Bowl when you beat the Titans 2 weeks ago, but it is a week-to-week league. And for this week, at least, both of these teams, a little bit to prove this week and a lot on the line. It's a big, big September game, huh?
Yeah, it is. And there are folks here in Buffalo and Western New York who thought the Bills won the Super Bowl when they beat the Titans a couple of weeks ago also, but they didn't. You know, the Super Bowl is in February, and it takes a while to get there, and the season is long. And I've tried to tell people, even before they lost last Sunday in Miami, that it's a long season and stuff happens, and it happened against the Dolphins. You know, people got hurt. They didn't play extremely well, and the Dolphins are getting better. I still think the Bills are better than the Dolphins. I think Tua is a pretty good quarterback, getting better. I think Josh Allen is a better quarterback, and it is a loss that the Bills, I hope they don't, pay for it in terms of home field in the playoffs. But it's definitely got everybody's attention, the fact that they lost to Miami on Sunday.
Hey, Murph, we thought we were better than the Dolphins, too.
Yep.
And, speed, receivers, matchup issues, not dissimilar to what Lamar does, right? I mean, and obviously this week for the defense and preparing for Lamar Jackson, I think he's put even more tape together over the last 3 weeks of staying in the pocket. It's a different set of tape than 2 years ago going in there during the plague for that playoff game. He's truly evolved and continued to evolve as a passer, as a pocket passer, and really, I don't want to be disrespectful and say game manager, but he's distributing the ball and running a command in a way that was a lot different than what he was doing, which was running a whole lot 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, and that's what I've seen. I watched a lot of the Baltimore game against the Dolphins last week, getting ready for the Dolphins. I'll watch that game again this week, and I'll focus on the Ravens. And I want to watch their victory this past Sunday. I've got that on tape. I know he's getting better, and he was a good player already. That playoff game a couple of years ago in the 2020 season when the Bills and it was a close game. I mean, the issue was in doubt until Taron Johnson picked off Lamar in the end zone and ran it back 101 yards for the go-ahead touchdown. But the Ravens were going in to score, and that would have made it a one-score game, I believe. I don't know the exact number, but that was a competitive, a contested game up until that play, and I expect more of the same coming up this week.
What's good about the Bills? I mean, the injuries obviously is an issue. We watched them beat up on the Titans 2 weeks ago. I didn't see a whole lot of the Dolphins game. I mean, sort of in between, and I'm watching the games at home now, so I can click around a little bit. But for where Josh Allen is, and the one difference that I have all week long in talking with all of you from Buffalo is your guy signed. Our guy's not. So I have to talk to you about, what do you think of Lamar this and Lamar that? But the one thing Josh Allen has going on is he sort of owns the building there, right? Like, he's there to stay. He's the real deal, and whether it's this week, next week, or whatever. But you have a solution there in a way that, for as long as you've been doing play-by-play, that's always been a big issue there.
Yeah, Nestor, he not only owns a building, he owns a whole town. He really does. I mean, he is the man. And, you know, he deserves it, kind of. He is, I think, better than anyone expected when they drafted him in seventh overall a couple of years ago. He was the third quarterback selected in that famous 2018 draft, and he's, I think, proven that he and Lamar are probably the two best ones. And you know, the thing about Josh that I think is most encouraging, and Bills fans will tell you this too, is a level of improvement year to year is really impressive. I mean, he gets better. He isolates a part of his game when the offseason begins that he wants to improve upon. He goes to work with his quarterback guru out in California, Jordan Palmer, and he gets better at it, whether it's a deep passing game or accuracy in general. And now he's you know, he's in the same offense here now for his fifth consecutive year, and he's total command of the offense. Even with a new coordinator, Ken Dorsey, he is in command of the offense and knows what he wants to do. He gets better year to year, and it's really impressive to watch. But, yeah, he owns the town. He not only owns the building, he owns the whole town. He's unbelievable.
Well, Murph, for us, the injuries ate us up last year, right? And we're still fighting through this as to whether Ronnie Stanley is going to play left tackle ever again or this week or whenever. We're on a fourth string left tackle right now, trying to protect the $250 million quarterback. We went through all of the injuries last year. This kind of hit you guys a little bit early on. I mean, the Hyde thing last week, that was not something that I think your organization was prepared for, that kind of injury this early in the year. And we all know it's, you know, there's going to be more. It's attrition. It's the league.
Yeah, and the Bills have dodged that bullet for a couple of years. They've been, and we pointed out at the end of the year how fortunate they've been for injuries over the last couple of years. Well, it finally hit them, you know. And last week they went into the game without Micah Hyde, without his partner back there, Jordan Poyer. I think the number is 81 of 83 games the two have played since they both arrived here together. And all of a sudden, neither one was on the field last Sunday, which made a difference. I mean, the Bills played to Jaquan Johnson. He played okay, but he's not Micah Hyde. And they have another replacement, Damar Hamlin, who's in for Jordan Poyer, not the same. They're without Tre'Davious White for at least this week and maybe a little bit longer, the former number one draft pick who had ACL tear last November, got it repaired surgically, and has missed the season so far. So, yeah, the injuries are something that Bills fans have not been accustomed to. But as you say, it's life in the NFL. They better get accustomed to it. And now they're in the process of seeing it. I'm not really sure who they're going to get back for the game against the Ravens, who's going to be ready to play. But it'll be not a patchwork lineup, but it'll be close because of all the injuries they've had.
Murph, you've been following this Lamar Jackson story from the beginning. And obviously 2 years ago, you mentioned the interception and return and all of that stuff. The improvement of Josh Allen and the things that he already had, the size, the arm, all of that, small school maybe was a little bit of the thought with him. Watching Lamar do this when Lamar gets his own coach somewhere else in the offseason, it's like a controversy here, right? Huh. And the difference between having a signed quarterback and an unsigned quarterback, just for the headspace of the fans, for the quarterback himself, and Lamar doesn't even have an agent in this situation. Here, folks talk about his money as much as they talk about his game and sort of the transcendent part of that. In Buffalo, it's all just about winning the Super Bowl finally, right? We had a couple of parades down here since we've got back into the league. It's been 30 years. I had Tasker on earlier talking about his era and all that. But just, I think it's a different pressure cooker in Buffalo. I think it's almost like being a Red Sox person before the Red Sox won, right? There's so much anticipation, the cauldron, sort of the only game in town, no offense to the Sabres. But Sean McDermott's also handled this thing, interestingly, coming into not such a great situation. It wasn't a coveted job. Rex left, all of that. But coming in and stabilizing something there, and I saw Marv Levy out, starts to feel like McDermott's going to be around a little while. And if I had to bet a dollar on the Bills winning a Super Bowl or not, I think you guys are going to win with this kid at some point. I just don't know if it's here or now. But I think your fan base feels that for the first time. And you, as the play-by-play, you really feel it for the first time this century that this could happen and this could be the year, but things have to go right.
Yeah, it could happen. It really could. And I'm not saying it won't happen, but the point I've been making since I kind of trace it back to mid-March when they signed Von Miller, and many Bills fans were just, oh, boom, that's it. We win the Super Bowl. And Las Vegas followed suit. Las Vegas installed them as the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and that's fine. And expectations are good, but you still got to do the work. You know, you got 17 games to play. And while the Bills are – and the Bills fans are patting them on the back saying, good work, we're the Super Bowl favorites, 31 other NFL teams, including the Ravens, are out there figuring out how they're going to – you know, beat the crap out of the Bills and everybody else they play. That's how competitive the league is. I think fans, many of them, most of them probably, underestimate how competitive it is and how hard people try to knock each other off. So while I know it's fine that the Bills are favorites to win a Super Bowl, it doesn't mean a thing. And that's why I was really excited about the start of the season when the Bills opened up at the Rams back on September 8th, just that you can put all the baloney behind you, all the expectation level. And, well, this guy says this and these odds makers say that. And each week we get a, you know, we get a report on how they're doing. Are they in position to win a championship? And I'm in here for the long haul. You know, myself, I'm in here all 17 games. I want to see how it turns out. I hope it turns out well, but I know there are no guarantees because there are all sorts of teams in the NFL who are looking to claim the championship as well.
John Murphy is our guest. He's the longtime play-by-play voice of all things Bills football and the Bills Mafia. You can follow him at Murph_Bills, add on the social media thing, and he's doing all sorts of radio shows, podcasts, all sorts of stuff. So you mentioned the competitive nature of the Bills and the fans. How about Ken Dorsey? There's no doubt how competitive they are. And I would say for – look, I've been up in these press boxes for 25 years. I mean, coaches – I've seen coaches – angry, crying, mad, throwing, happy, hugging, drinking, backslap. I mean, it is a high-low business. I don't know that if we had had video cameras on coaches and booze forever, that was not the worst tirade I've ever seen. Just the worst one lately.
Yeah, and now it's everywhere because of social media, right? Everybody's seen it. Everybody has an opinion on it. I happen to think it's been overblown, but whatever. I'm really happy that Ken Dorsey is that passionate about whether they win or lose. I mean, he was totally into it, and he was very upset when they lost, and I think that's a good sign. But yeah, you're right. You know, coaches and people have different reactions to things. I'll never forget a game we were doing in Carolina once. The Bills were fourth quarter, were beating the Carolina Panthers, and our radio booth was right next to the Bills coaches' booth. And at one point, the Panthers, one score game, were driving downfield and looked as if they were going to score. And I looked over next to me, behind glass, was the Bills' then defensive coordinator, Perry Fuel, who now works for the league. I looked at him and basically said, "You got this or what?" You know, asking the question nonverbally, and he just winked at me. And I thought, and they went on, and the Bills won. They shut him down, and I thought, that's perfect. You know, it's kind of the demeanor you want from a coach in the booth, like, "Yeah, don't worry about it. We got this." And, you know, it was a little bit different with Ken Dorsey, but I don't think it's that meaningful. I think during the game, I'm sure he's buttoned down and paying attention. And he got emotional about it. I'm glad that he cares that much and is that passionate about it.
Murph, I was watching the Patriots over the weekend, and they feel like a little bit of a shell of what they used to be. Certainly Tom Brady will do that, and Belichick's still respected. But it feels to me like there's been a changing of the guard, certainly in your division. And I'm an old enough guy that I remember the Buffalo Bills coming in here with OJ and all of that a million years ago with Ferguson and all that. But for Buffalo, Miami, there was that Brian Cox era and all that where the Dolphins couldn't get there, and you guys were clearly the better team. At this point, to be the class of the division again and to get your nose bloodied a little bit by the Dolphins, that's an interesting place to come from, right? Because we're all used to New England, but Miami's emerged. And I think based on what I saw and their skill position players and their coach, you're going to struggle with them. They're much like the Bengals here. We didn't want to believe they were real. Then we had to watch them play in the Super Bowl. Now we take the Bengals seriously around here. Certainly the Buffalo-Miami thing, I don't know that the Patriots are going to get up and start to walk and run anytime soon. It feels like the two of you for a while.
Yeah, I think so. I guess the Dolphins emerged quicker than I thought they would, and I didn't have very high regard for Tua until this past Sunday, but he can play. And he's certainly got weapons, and they've added to his arsenal of weapons. There's still some chinks in their armor, and I still believe the Bills are the better team. But, you know, they get another crack at him in December. They're going to have to beat him now. And I don't think the Dolphins are going to go away. I find them an interesting team. I think their coach, Mike McDaniel, is a really interesting guy who's very funny and is very intelligent and non-traditional. In fact, I was thinking about him going into last week's game about you know, he's got an Ivy League degree, like the Bills Hall of Fame coach, Marv Levy, you know. Marv went to Harvard. This guy went to Yale. But I thought, this is an interesting guy. They bear watching, let me say that. And after they beat the Bills last week, they probably bear more than just watching. But, it's going to be interesting to have the Dolphins and Bills rivals again. The rivalry really has not been hot for a long time, basically since Kellyanne Marino stepped away.
You just said Marv Levy, man. He came on a show with me about 10 years ago to Super Bowl, sat down, sharp as a tack. He was 80-something then. he's an amazing guy, right? I mean, as far as legacies for your town, we have Earl Weaver here, and you know, Don Shula was here a million years ago. But for Buffalo, there's Marv Levy's the Yoda of Buffalo, right? Literally,
he is. He was here for the Titans game a couple of weeks ago and did a little crowd rousing thing. You know, where'd you rather be than right here, right now?
It worked.
And he's 97 years old, and he's still. You know, he's still hanging in there. He slowed down, obviously, a little bit. But I love Marv. I see him once, maybe twice a year. And he's just the best. I can't get it down, but a thing on my wall, a letter he sent to me when he left the Bills. I sent him a note. He sent me one back. And I framed it because that's how much I think of Marv. I think he's a really intelligent guy. And, yeah, you're right. He left an impressive and really positive legacy. And that's just because of the AFC championships, but left a really good legacy in his time with the Bills.
Well, you know, the best part with him, when I had him on, I gave all the credit to Mark Jabrody. He didn't mind that at all because I'm a Baltimore guy. The whole K-gun and all that. People forget Ted was a big part of that, man. You know, like, they don't remember that. They remember the players. They don't remember the coaches. John Murphy, he'll make you remember the broadcasters. He is the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. Gonna bring me some beef and wet down here. Gonna bring me some fresh wings. And really bringing a great football game. I mean, it's not often we get this sort of a slobber knocker at 1 o'clock on a Sunday this early in the season. I'm a little shocked it's not a little bit more prime time given where we are, but it is all of a prime time matchup, especially these two quarterbacks. And, you know, for me, all the years of being in a stadium before this fiasco with the press seats and my tickets, we sat in section 513, row 1, seat 7 and 8. And of all the years, 24 years of sitting there, 2 years memorial with Ted. But the one thing we have not experienced, and I've actually experienced this in your building, is an AFC championship game. I was there the day Jay Schrader got freight trained and Art Shell and Mighty Taco. I remember everything about it 33 years ago, right? We haven't had a championship game here. This feels to me to be, to your point, losing to the Dolphins last week. You worry about that for January. This feels to me like if the Ravens lose this game, they two losses, lose at home to the Bills. The notion that championship games get played in your building means that you have 13, 14, 15 wins. This is that kind of a game. And Kansas City will be watching other teams thought to be at the top of their division. But this is the kind of game that if the Ravens lose, we go freeze our ass up with you in January. And if we win, maybe you have to come down here instead of us going up to the frozen tundra in January. That's what makes this game so important so early in the year.
Yeah, I think that's a lesson the Bills learned the hard way last year when they lost some conference games. I mean, they lost their opener to Pittsburgh. They went to Jacksonville in early November and lost that game. They lost three or four conference games, and all of a sudden they got the playoffs, obviously. They won the division, and they hosted the Patriots in week one, the wild card weekend, whatever they call it. But the very next week they had to go to Kansas City and play out there in the divisional round, and they lost the famous 13-second collapse there. But, yeah, it matters. These games matter, and especially a conference game. I think the Bills got it after the way they went into the playoffs last year. They understand that these conference games are really important when it comes to January playing home football, and I think they'll go into this game this Sunday with that in mind.
I'm looking at John Murphy on the web stream here. He's got that Sullivan's thing behind him. He tells me they make beer. So, you're getting me thirsty for game time, Murph. You're doing your job.
Yeah, thanks. That's Sullivan's Irish Red Ale. It's a company I do a little work for. It's a great product. Great. It's brewed in Kilkenny, Ireland. It's great.
It's got everything I like. It's beer. It's Irish. It's red ale. What won't I like about that? Murph, take care of yourself. I wish we'd get together a little bit more often. I have a feeling you may look down on your phone and see me first, second, third week of January trying to find you and stuff like that. And maybe I'll get back up there to Buffalo and enjoy myself, have some wings up there and hit all of those great Chickawagas and Depews and all those places that Jaworski always tells me he's going to take me out and get me good Polish food.
Nestor, it's always great to talk to you. I'll help you whenever I can. Thanks.
John Murphy, he's the longtime play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. You can follow him out on Twitter at Murph_Bills. And he's a good man, and he drinks good beer, as everybody in Buffalo should and will. They'll be drinking their beer and doing soup plays, two tables down here, bringing the wings down, doing it all. Bills Ravens, 1 o'clock here in Baltimore. And as Marv Levy would say, where else would you rather be than watching football here this weekend in the battle of M&T Bank? I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking crab cakes, football, BaltimorePositive.com.